For Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson, and welcome to this week's Friday News Feedbag, a little something that happens every Friday here on Discovery News Podcast. I'd like to welcome Discovery News reporter James Williams, and in a guest appearance this week, filling in for Discovery News' Jorge Ribas, we have Casey D. Gardner. Casey D., thanks for being here.
Not a problem, Will.
And to you too, James.
Thank you. Hi.
So where's Jorge?
He's out on a story in...
Arkansas.
Okay, so... So pinch hitting for Jorge this week is KCD, who also is a member of the Discovery News team, right?
I am.
Awesome. Well, it's good to have you here, and I know you've been listening to the feedback since its inception and are well-schooled in how to do this. So we'll explain to our new listeners real quick. Every Friday, James and Jorge, and this week, of course, it's KCD, brings us their three favorite stories of the week. They can choose whatever stories they want. We then leave it up to you, our listeners, to call us or email us with the story you like the most for whatever reason, and we'll tell you the results of this week's voting next week, and of course today we'll reveal the results of last week, if that all makes sense. Have I confused you yet, guys?
No, but, well, actually, I was wondering if, just so that things don't get confusing, Casey, if it's, would it be okay if I just call you Jorge?
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay, so we'll do that. All right.
Thank you, Jorge.
I may or may not do that. And again, the reporter whose story gets the most votes wins. And currently, James, it wouldn't be the Friday News Feedback if I didn't forget what the score is currently.
Oh, man. I think it's tied at 10-10.
Yeah, I believe you're right. So that's all coming up. But first, let's reveal the winner of last week's feedback. The story that got the most votes from all of our listeners who called or emailed us was the story that I believe James brought us about advertising technique that involves using confusion.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. All right. So that's you.
Yep, that is me. Awesome.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
In Jorge's absence, you win.
Jorge, I'm sorry. I thought your stories were good, too, though.
And we got, there were votes for other stories, too. The clean gum story got a lot of votes, and here's one of the calls that came in.
Hi, my name is Steve, calling from Chicago. I was completely confused by that confusing car sales story, so I'd have to vote for that one. It's my favorite.
All right, so there you have it. Thanks again to our listeners for calling us and emailing us, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of this feedback. I think we should get right into it and get to this week's stories. James Williams, you want to start it off?
My first story comes from the Agricultural Research Center from the USDA, and these are the folks that brought us the study about the kitchen sponges, about how to keep them clean.
Yeah. Well, I believe it was the microwave. Was that the best way to clean a kitchen sponge?
It is.
Okay. For 1 minute.
Yeah.
I believe that was our first feedback.
It might have been.
All right. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep. So this time they're looking at garlic. I mean, they look at a lot of things, but this, I just happened to notice this one was about garlic. Garlic has these heart protective compounds that they're called thiosulfonates. And I think I'm saying that right. And
That's right.
Thanks. And they're the same things like in onions that cause your eyes to water, but they may lower blood pressure and break up potentially harmful clusters of platelets in the bloodstream. And the best way to get them in garlic has always thought to have been in the raw, but the problem is that if you eat raw garlic, then of course you have stinky breath and no one wants to talk to you. So they looked at the different ways to cook garlic and figure out which of those ways keeps you as close to raw garlic in terms of getting the benefits out of it. So they boiled it, they baked it, and they microwaved it, and they crushed and uncrushed cloves of garlic in each of those three ways of cooking and evaluated them. And what they found was that if lightly cooked crushed garlic had the most of the health benefits found in raw garlic. Conversely, from the sponge story, that if you microwave garlic, you basically strip it of almost all of its blood thinning effects, all the good effects of it.
Okay, so lightly baked crushed garlic.
That's the way to eat your garlic, yep.
All right. Casey D., do you enjoy garlic?
I love garlic, and I like it raw.
Really?
Yeah.
How often do you eat raw garlic?
Me?
Yeah.
Once a week.
Do you really?
Yeah, I love it.
I love garlic, too, but I don't eat it raw.
So
I bake it, I lightly cook it and crush it.
You're just saying that.
crushed, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, garlic lovers, rejoice. Let's take it over to Casey D. for her first story of the week.
Okay.
In fact, her first story ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
My debut.
Yeah, welcome.
Thank you. My first story is it's a pregnancy test it's a device like a pregnancy test that will help determine life on Mars. So it's done by a group of scientists, an international consortium from Carnegie's Geophysical Laboratory in the U.S. and then scientists from the U.K., Netherlands, and Germany. The scientists are using a very seemingly simple technology, you know, the P-stick pregnancy test. That's what I'm envisioning anyway. And they're mounting it on a spacecraft that's orbiting unmanned in in space. And what it does is when it gets to space, it opens up. They test for biomarkers, which are molecular fingerprints that indicate if life is or ever was on Mars. And so then it's part of this 12-day mission, and it comes back on September 25th, and they'll analyze the results. And this pregnancy test stick, which that's not the proper name, it's called the BioPan 6. It's small. It's only about an inch and a half by an inch and a half, and it can collect about 2,000 samples.
That is very small. If I was going to go look for that, I would put, wouldn't you put like, just make a huge, huge thing and try and like make like a flypaper stick thing that's like enormous?
They could collect the most data.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have a reason for making it so small.
So this is, it's coming back on the 25th of September?
Yeah, it comes back on the 25th.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, KCD, thanks for your first story, your very first story, kind of a weird one, but interesting. Let's take it back over to James for his second story of the week.
Okay, good story, Jorge. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, this next story is from the Cooperative Research Center for Landscape, Environment, and Mineral Exploration in Perth. And one of the researchers there, and it's off time, he stresses that we know this, and it's off time, found that using soft drinks and red wine was able to extract minerals from soil just as well, if not more so, than conventional, more expensive commercial solvents. So he found that in these soft drinks and wine, there's weak organic acids, and they dissolve the weakly bound metals into their solution, and then I guess they take them into the lab and they do an analysis on them and are able to see what's in the soil, and it works particularly good with silver, zinc, copper, and nickel. And they found that it doesn't matter whether or not it's like a Shiraz or a Mont Blanc, and diet soft drinks work just as well as regular soft drinks.
Always interesting when like everyday objects or in this case liquids can be used for rather advanced techniques or processes or whatever you want to call it.
Well, then a lot of the soft drinks started off, I think, as not necessarily being drinks in the first place anyway. They were like cleaners and stuff, I think.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. James, interesting stuff there from Australia. Yep. Let's take it back to KCD for her second story.
Okay. So my second story comes from the University of Cincinnati. And this story is a little bit unusual. It's going to go with my strange theme today. So it's a researcher who has a way of developing green electronics using salmon sperm. And he's a lead expert in light-emitting diodes. What he found is the salmon sperm intensifies the property of LED lights. And so currently what we use in LED lights is inorganic material like silicon. So the reason he chose salmon sperm, it wasn't just like, I don't think he just thought, okay, this is a great object to use. He's looking for something that didn't harm the environment, and there was plenty of it, and there is a lot because the fishing industry just tosses it away.
So the actual LED light display is made brighter, or the salmon sperm is actually used to make that light?
Yes. And what's interesting, I thought, is so this researcher, he's receiving salmon sperm from researchers around the world, wanting to know if their sperm is good enough for him to try out.
Interesting. So maybe different geography, different locations might have different properties or how well it works.
Mm-hmm. Like there might be better salmon sperm like in Alaska versus, I don't know where else there's salmon, Washington.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, we're sort of surrounded by LEDs these days, aren't we?
Yes.
So could be useful.
Exactly.
That's not what I think of when I think of an LED light.
No. That's probably the last thing.
Exactly.
All right. Let's take it back to James then for his your third story.
Yep. My third story is coming. It came out in the September 18th issue of Current Biology, and it has to do with honeybees and their arch enemy, the Oriental hornet. But before I start, let me just say that like the more I read about and learn about insects, that is the most brutal like animal world that I can think of. Like much more, I think, than mammals or fishes or anything like that. They're brutal. So what the scientists are looking at is how honeybees attack and kill their arch enemy, which is the Oriental hornet. Which I didn't surprise me first off because I figured the arch enemy of a bee would be like a spider. But I guess it's a hornet. And the way that most bees do it when they attack hornets is they create a ball of bees around the hornet. They call it thermoballing. And the bee balls get so hot inside that it kills the hornets.
The horror.
Yeah, but because they can't sting them, right? Because the hard cuticle that the hornets have around them. So, but some subspecies of the domestic honeybee can't raise the heat enough inside their bee ball to kill the hornet. So what they do, they found out, is they actually block these little like air holes in the sides of these hornets. They block them, and they actually asphyxiate the hornet.
Gee.
It's brutal. Insects are so brutal.
All right, so insects figuring out other ways to annihilate their archenemy.
Yep.
All right. Cool. Weird stuff. Let's take it back to KCD for her third and final story.
I think this also complements James' last story because this is also about insects, something interesting. So this is about fireflies, and fireflies, everyone knows, light off those fire, you know, the little lights that everyone sees and kids try to catch.
Do they have archenemies?
They have predators.
I'm sure they do.
But I don't know if they actually have an official archenemy.
Right.
Probably the three-year-old child.
The net.
Yeah, no, you're right. The toddler.
Yeah. Okay, so the male fireflies attract their mates with the flashes. And it's been known what kind of preferences females have from previous research, and it shows that different firefly species have shown that females respond more readily to males that give longer flashes and also those with faster flash rhythms. The thing is, these more conspicuous flashes are more likely to attract predators, but it's a kind of catch-22, but they also attract females. So it's like...
It's a fine line.
They get the ladies, but they might die.
Right.
They might be eaten.
So the question to them is, worth it?
Yeah.
Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Right.
Weigh your options.
Yeah.
That's kind of like humans, isn't it? How flashy do you want to get? Because if you get too flashy...
Yeah, absolutely.
Then
get shot. So what it means is the researchers want to figure out if this is going to possibly generate a new evolutionary balancing act that might just breed a new species of fireflies with their own distinctive flash codes that can kind of, you know, get the ladies still and not get eaten.
So that's interesting because it means, I mean, I don't know if that means they'd evolve, the males would evolve this distinctive flash code, but also in a way like maybe the females would have to evolve a different way of what they, of thinking about what they think is attractive or not.
Yeah, they'd have to, like, doesn't, like, that changes too, right, with humans?
It's just like music.
Well, I mean, they'd have to change their taste, but...
Disco used to be cool.
Exactly, that's exactly right. Like a white John Travolta suit at one point was like a very fast flashing firefly.
For some ladies.
But yeah, but now, the today's version of that would be... I don't know, what's today's version of that?
Justin Timberlake.
Just
yeah.
All right, well, then that's Casey's third and final story. I guess we'll, again, just on that one, just watch and see if fireflies evolve and change.
Yes.
Watch with bated breath, Will.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch and don't catch him.
Okay.
That's my message.
All right. Great platform, Casey. And great to have you here with us this week. Thanks for bringing us the stories.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you, Jorge.
Thanks to both of you. And I guess, once again, we will throw it to our listeners now to vote on their favorite story of the week. You can email us at pod_cast@discovery.com or call us and leave a message telling us what story you like and why, most importantly, at 888-890-6339. You might just get your... message played on the feedback. And so quickly, James, run down your three stories, and then Casey, do you do the same?
Okay, my first story was garlic is best crushed and lightly cooked. Second story is wine and soft drinks can dissolve minerals in soil just as good as the expensive commercial solvents. And my last one is that honeybees kill hornets by... making bee balls that overheat them and sometimes by smothering them inside their bee balls.
All right, KCD.
Okay, so my first story was a pregnancy test technology that might find out if there's life on Mars.
Yep.
The second one was salmon sperm is used to make better and brighter LED lights.
Okay.
Green electronics. And the third is the dangerous lives of fireflies.
All right. Well, again, our listeners, email us pod_cast@discovery.com or call the number I mentioned. And we should certainly make clear that KCD is pretty much Jorge this week. So a vote for KCD is a vote for Jorge, right?
That's correct.
James, are you cool with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Jorge's cool with that, too, right? We asked him.
Yeah, we did ask him.
All right. Hey, guys, have a great week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Will.
And Jorge will be back next week. KCD, we'd love to have you back sometime.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Have a good one.
Thank you.
And for Discovery News, I'm Will Johnson.